Lord, thank you so much for singing. What a joy it is. We're going to get started tonight, and we're looking again at the rapture, and I trust it'll be a blessing to us as we look into the Word of God. If you find your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you find your place in 1 Corinthians 15, I heard a story, and I've told you before, but it fits so well, I'll tell it again. A new preacher came to town, saw this old codger up on the porch, and he asked him, he's just going around door to door, just meeting people and knocking on doors, said, hey, he said, are you a Christian? He said, I ain't no Christian. He said, I'm a Parsons. Parsons all up around, that was their last name, said, I'm a Parsons. He said, no, no, you don't understand. He said, are you lost? He said, lost? He said, I lived here all my life. He said, I know every nook and cranny, every holler around here. I ain't lost. I can take you anywhere you want. He said, no, you still don't understand. He said, are you ready for the rapture? He said, don't rightly know. He said, when is it? And the preacher said, well, that's the thing. Could be today, could be tomorrow. That old timer leaned up and said, don't tell my wife. She'll want to go both days. It's good to see you tonight. It's good to have up in the balcony Lauren Harrell, a friend of Maddie Brown's, and she is getting married next week. Still on the wedding? She's not. Yes? She's not used to being talked to from the pulpit. Your wedding's still on. Your dad doesn't do this, does he? No, he's too dignified. Her dad pastors the Fairview Baptist Church in Athens, Tennessee, and Fairview Christian Academy there. So it's good to have you. Thank you for being here, and we're glad that Maddie brought you tonight. So we're looking tonight in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I trust that it will be a blessing as we look into it. I think that's what I told you to go to first. You know, we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We know that the Lord Himself should ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with to meet the Lord in the air. We remember those verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery, something that's not known. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment. Now, you know verse 51, that's the famous verse for all nursery workers, right? That's what they all have in there. Go read it again, you'll see why. That's the last joke of the night, folks. I'm sorry, I don't have any more. That was my big finale, and then it fizzled. So, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Again, I told you last week, as the apostle was used of God to write to the people of Thessalonica, he was assuming that he would be in that group. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. He's telling this group, and we shall be changed. We'll be changed from what the corruptible, verse number 15, must put on, or verse 53, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal that he was talking about, as if he's pointing to his body, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And the verse that we quote oftentimes at funerals, O death, where is thy sting for the Christian? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to look tonight at the aspects of the coming of the Lord in the air. Now, specifically, the four or five points you have there in your handout are from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but they're also found here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then we'll go to some other places, and I trust it will all come together, and the Lord will strengthen I don't think He needs to strengthen most people in this room's belief in the rapture. I think you believe that just as sure as the rest of the Word of God, but it will just, it's like, if I could say it without being sacrilegious, it's like watching an old film, movie, TV show that you like, you already know you like it, but you like it even more. It's an old classic. Well, I say that very reverently because I wouldn't want to compare the Word of God to a movie, but when you know something, but then you know it better. Like the old boy said, just gets gooder and gooder. So as you more you know it, it just gets gooder and gooder. So, Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us to see tonight maybe a little aspect we may have known, but we'll just bring something to light to us tonight that would really just let us dwell and meditate and just be amazed at something that I pray. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord himself, the Bible says, will descend from heaven. I love it that he doesn't send an angel. We mentioned that the other night, that he doesn't send an angel. The Lord himself in 1 Thessalonians. But we looked at 1 Thessalonians the other night. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And you find your place there. If you're in Corinthians, just turn right a few books. It's not too long. If you find any of the books that start with T, you found them all. So 2 Thessalonians, rather, chapter number 2. After about 5 minutes, it gets embarrassing when the preacher can't find it, so I apologize for that. It's in here somewhere. Keep looking. One preacher said after these people were turning their pages for a long time, he had announced the text. He said, just look intelligently at whatever page you're on. People won't know the difference. But I found it. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Now we beseech you, we beg you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by the letter as from us. Even if somebody like us had written you a letter, don't you be shaken. As that the day of the Christ is at hand. So you've got to, as they say, read between the lines. Historically, you could look into this, but then you can also imagine, as the apostle is writing these people at Thessalonica, he's telling them in verse number 2 that he doesn't want them to be shaken in mind. He doesn't want them to be upset or be troubled, whether somebody by spirit nor by word, somebody came and told you, or by a letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. And then he's going to go on and say, let no man deceive you. Because there was apparently some teaching going around to those that church there in Thessalonica that the day of the Lord's already here. You missed it. All that stuff that was going to go on, it passed us. And so you remember the day of the Lord, it's mentioned again and again in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. That day of the Lord would be that time when after the end of the tribulation, when the Lord comes down, and all of that end time, that's all the day of the Lord. So there's a separation or a difference between that and the rapture when Christ calls his own to the heaven. And so you see here that these people at Thessalonica, history would tell us, and then you can read it into those verses. Look at verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? That day that he was talking about, the day of the Lord. He said, because you think that the day of Christ is at hand, verse number 2. He says, don't let anybody deceive you. For that day of Christ, that day of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So those things were going to have to come to pass. It says clearly that the day of the Lord, that end, won't come until these two things happen. But somebody says, well, I thought you said the rapture was imminent, or meaning it could happen at any time. It is. That's not. Because the day of the Lord, that time when Jesus comes and we come, us and come with him, that he comes, that won't come, that day of the Lord, until there come the falling away. That means that the church, what's left, the church, the Christians would have been taken up, but there'll still be religious services going on everywhere. But the church, little c, the church that doesn't have the Christians in anymore, there'll be that great falling away. So some people try to apply this verse, say, oh, I see that falling away and that it just mentions. Now, we see precursors to it. There's lots of people departing and doing all kinds of things. But this falling away that shall come hasn't come yet. And then also that man of sin, that son of perdition, that Antichrist hasn't been revealed yet either. So Paul was addressing these saints that thought they got left behind, they got passed up, and he's combating this. And so he's telling them that day of the Lord hasn't come yet. You didn't miss anything. But then he's the same one that he had already told him in 1 Thessalonians that the Lord was coming back in the rapture. So we see here that he's talking about that day of the Lord. But I want you to look back in verse number 1. That day of the Lord, when he comes, sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. You see that. But look in verse number 1, this description, and you see if you can't figure, we can't figure out what it is. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Remember, now he had already written the 1 Thessalonians to them. God used him to write that. So it sounds a lot like the rapture in verse number 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm begging you on behalf of that. Like if somebody says, I'm begging you for all that's good and holy and righteous and all that. I'm pleading with somebody. He says, I'm beseeching you, brethren, by the coming of Jesus Christ, that rapture, and by our gathering together, caught up together with him in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air. I'm begging you on behalf of those things that you don't be shaken in mind, thinking that you've missed something. So we see that this passage talks about the second coming, but it also talks about the rapture getting up to it. So all of those will be in this rapture, the coming of the Lord in heaven, from heaven. And then we see point number 2, though, how is he going to come? He's going to come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And I want you to see something about that shout, whether Jesus used in John chapter 11, verse number 43. If you want to turn there, you can, or I'll read it to you. When he finds Lazarus in the grave and his sisters say, don't get him now, Lord. He's been dead 4 days and behold, you know, he stinketh. But the Bible says in John 11, verse number 43, and when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And so we understand that the voice or the with the shout in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is going to be the shout of the Savior, which is the same shout that brought Lazarus out of the grave. And we're talking about a pretty powerful shout. And so we see all these things happening with the coming, with the rapture of the church. And so we see it, he will come with the sound of a trumpet. The trump of God shall sound, the Bible says. Well, I want you to look, if you will, at Revelation chapter number 1. And you say, well, is that trumpet a trumpet that is used? Some people say the voice of the archangel, meaning Gabriel. But is that trumpet a trumpet that God will use, or is that trumpet the Lord himself? Well, look at Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. The Bible says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the apostle writing here, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what thou seest write in a book. And so that trumpet, that voice as of a trumpet, was none other than the voice of Jesus Christ when he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And so we understand that he will come with the sound of a trumpet. And then we know as well that the dead in Christ shall rise first. One old preacher said God must be partial to the ones that went on. He lets them rise first. Whether that's the way it is, it just is. The Bible talks about asleep. We'll finally turn to 1 Thessalonians that we haven't turned to yet tonight, but 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And we'll see in verse number 13, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. It's an interesting study when you look at it. That word asleep really literally means to lie down. And so truly, these folks are those that are dead, but God likens it to their asleep. And you understand that after a person's quickened, the Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You were dead all the way, but you who did quicken, that Holy Spirit quickened. So after you're quickened and you're saved and you're made alive, that body's the only thing that's going to die after that part. Because your soul and spirit are going to go on to the Lord. Every believer that's passed, friends and loved ones of ours, they have passed and they've gone on. But that body has died. So in a very real way, it's as if it were asleep. And so the dead in Christ, the asleep in Christ, they will rise first. And then we understand that the living shall be changed. I know I'm putting you around a lot, but look at one last one, Philippians chapter number 3. You look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 21. So the dead, who their bodies have been decomposing, their spirit and soul in heaven, the Bible says they will be reunited, that dead in Christ shall rise first. They've obviously had a temporary body, been able to be told who they are and recognized. Those will be reunited. And then us living, we shall be changed. You say, well, I ain't ready for heaven. Well, I told a lie just today. Well, you ain't the only one. There are some other people. I'm looking for you, too. I'm your pastor. You say, I'm not ready for heaven. That's right, we're not ready for heaven, this old vile body. That's why the Bible says that this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. You're sure not ready for heaven. When you walk through the room at middle of the night and you stub your toe, isn't it amazing how your toes always find those legs? I was stumbled on this little bench of a thing. We stayed in a hotel not too long ago, and at the end it had a bench at the end of the bed, and I was coming through there. I didn't want to wake Amy up because she was sleeping well, and so I thought I'd just sneak on over there. I tell you, about time you put that leg of that little Victorian stool of a thing in between your second and your third toe, there wasn't no more sneaking then. So you think I was saying the Lord's Prayer at that time? That's not true. This old vile body, it's not fit for heaven. It can't enter into heaven. He says he wouldn't let anything that defileth. That's why in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 21, who shall change our vile body, lest somebody think, mine's good, I'm working out and I'm eating healthy. It's not what you've been putting in or what you've been putting on or what you've been doing. It's just the fact that it's a fleshly, sinful body. Now the spirit got quickened and it's saved, but that old body didn't get saved. And so the scripture says that he would change that. Why or how rather? That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So we see that it is right. This body isn't fit to go up there. This body in its current shape is not going to go up there. You'll have that body like, I don't know, some bodybuilder or whatever I don't know what kind it'll be, but I know that it won't be a sinful body that's prone to wander like the hymn writer wrote, Lord, I feel it. It won't be that way. Why? Because it says there in that verse, it'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. And so the dead shall rise first. Then the living shall be changed. Because if they didn't change, they're not fit to go. Your mom ever tell you, hey, you ain't going like that? Mama says it's fine. No. Not with me. Not in my car, you're not. So that's the same way. Lord says you can't come like that. He loved us enough to die on the cross, send his son to die on the cross for us, and he saved us. But the Bible says that nothing that defileth shall enter in. And so the living saved shall be changed. Now, just to take backwards on that sleeping, the those that are asleep, that I told you that lay down. I was reading in maybe McGee, somebody was talking about some liberals that say the resurrection, that's a spiritual resurrection, meaning it's not a physical, it is a spiritual event, but they were meaning that it's mystical, it's spiritual, it's not a physical thing. If to say that a sleeping or asleep is to lie down. How on earth would your spirit lie down for it to come back up? The dead in Christ shall rise first. And you look at the verbiage in there, you look at the way that it's clearly spelled out. That's not a spiritual thing. We have to be careful sometimes when people claim to believe just like you do. And what they mean is, yes, oh, I believe that Bible. But then when you get down to the specifics, they don't believe it like you believe it. I mean, they don't believe it is true all the way through. When they get to some parts in the Bible, say, oh, yeah, that's it, it's all true. Oh, now that's an allegory. I mean, there are some things in scriptures, even Proverbs says, the ring of the nose bringeth forth blood. That's true, but you shouldn't try it out on somebody. You know, but there's parts in there, it's obvious in Revelation and things where there are likings. This is like unto that. Yes, that's true. But don't ever be fooled when somebody says, oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. But then they say, well, that's not true. Literally, that's just a good story. Somebody talks about David and Goliath. It's all about stories like that. Well, so that couldn't happen. That's just a good teaching tool to show you that you can overcome obstacles. Daniel in the lion's den is there to teach you that you can get through almost any tough situation. No, Daniel in the lion's den, the story is there because Daniel really got thrown down in with amongst the lions, and they said, well, shut my mouth, there's Daniel. So we have to be careful. Some people believe it as stories, but not as truth. And so some people hit the rapture. Of course they do. Say, oh no, that's a spiritual. We can elevate ourselves. No, God, He means what He says, it says what He means. And so it's very important for us to understand these things, because in John chapter 14, when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. And I just wanted to come tonight to tell us a little bit more about that time that He would come again. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I doubt I taught anybody anything new in here tonight. It's Wednesday night. It's good folks. And Lord, most everybody has known this doctrine as well as I have for as long or longer than I have. But Lord, it don't hurt to get the old. If you got an old classic convertible car, even though you know how it drives, it doesn't hurt to get it out and just drive it around the block a little bit, or out on a nice sunny day, drive it through down to get some ice cream and come back just because you want to cruise around in that. Lord, I don't believe it's hurt us a bit just to cruise around in the glory of what the prospects are on our horizon. And I pray that you've encouraged some Christians tonight. And Lord, I pray if there's one or several that are in this room, they're not sure they're saved. Oh, Lord, I pray they'd get saved before it's eternally too late. And my friend, as we're praying, if you're here and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, if Jesus would come tonight and you're not sure that you'd go with Him, my friend, you need to get that settled. You need to be certain that your faith is placed solely and wholly in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Would you do that tonight? Father, bless this invitation time, we pray, and we'll thank you for it all. Would you stand together with me if you're able to as the ladies begin to play? If God's spoken to your heart tonight, I invite you to come. Maybe you'd like to come and just relish in the prospect of what's next on God's big calendar. You say, I know what's next on my calendar. I'm going on vacation. Well, that's great, and I hope that you go and have a good time. But the next thing on God's calendar is for Jesus to come and take us away, take us to heaven, and there may we be with the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight, not sure you're saved. If that's you, would you slip out from your seat? If somebody's blocking you, they'll certainly, if you tap them on the arm, they would come down with you. But you're here tonight, a guest, a visitor, a long-standing church member, but you're not sure you're saved, would you slip out and let me or Brother Dan or somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home? They'll play one more verse. This one's yours. If God's spoken to your heart, would you come? Thank you so much. You can look this way. I hope that after a Wednesday night service, you just say, it was good to be in church. Amen. You know, look, there's so many that I visit a lot of people in the hospitals and facilities of different kind. Aren't you thankful? And it may be us. Listen, it could be us next week. You could get a call or they could tell you Sunday, well, you know, pastor's this. Or, I understand. But I'm thankful that you used the health that you got to be here at church tonight. And many of us joined on live stream and they weren't able to. And God bless them. And may their strengthening come to them. But thank you for being in church. And as you leave tonight, I hope that you'll say hello to two or three or four people who you haven't talked to yet. And just tell them it's good to see them in church and mean it. Because it is a joy. I believe that one of these days, if Jesus dares is coming and we go the way of sickness and debilitation and different things, some of us in this room will be at home, not able to get out, and we'll look back on nights, maybe not this particular night, but nights like this, say, boy, that was good to be in church. And I'm thankful that you're using the time and the body and the ability that you have while we have it to just come together like God said to do. God bless you. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed. Thank you.